Good morning, everybody. This is Rachel, and we are here with our From Rock Bottom to Badass podcast. And I'm so excited to have another guest today. This is Miss Billy Lynn Clark. Hi, beautiful. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
Good. So I have to tell you guys how funny it was this morning that we're both like a hot mess and super chaotic. I could like hardly get out of the house. We're about 15, 20 minutes late to our appointment because of me and my toddler not wanting to put on pants. It has just been the funniest morning. We're doing this podcast mom style today.
Yeah, definitely understand. I have a 4-year-old myself, so.
So, Billy Lynn, who are you?
So, I am a domestic violence survivor.
Woo!
Yes. And it's actually my son's father. So, we have been out of that relationship for a year now. It's still kind of fresh. We moved back home with my mom January 18th of 2020. So he basically beat me 30 to 40 times in the face and strangled me in front of my baby. And I dealt with the abuse for 4 years, though. You know, it was a constant thing. It was just that extreme. It had never been that extreme until that day.
Did you see signs?
In the beginning... In the beginning, you never do. They're Prince Charming. They're, you know, everything's great. Like, they're literally everything you could ask for. But that is what a narcissistic does, narcissism. And that's just what they do. They make it out like they are just the greatest thing ever. You know, when I first, now there is a 20 year age gap between me and his father. So for me, it was like, oh, he's older. You know, when I first met him, he had 2 jobs. He was a good dad. He has 10 kids. My son was number 9. And he, yes, he cheated on me and got the girl pregnant, which is just a cycle that is in his life. You know, that's what he does. So, yeah, we have been out of it for a year and I'm back in school. I got my own car. I do, volunteer work at, Kentucky River Foothills through my school.
Tell me a little bit more about what you went through. Like, how did being in an abusive relationship affect you, like, as a person, in your mind, in your emotions, your self-esteem, like, all of that? Like, tell me about how that affected you.
It affects more than what people think. For me, I was sheltered out, but that was normal. Like, so I'm dealing with everything now, you know, and I'm in therapy. So, like, as crazy as this is going to sound, he was my comfort. Mm-hmm. And I was okay with everyone being blocked out. My mom, you know, my friends, my siblings.
So you isolated yourself, or he
isolated everybody from me by being mean, or he would be hateful to them. Nobody wants to be around that.
Like, right. So people just decided they didn't want to be a part of your life anymore because of how.
Yep. Because of how he was. So I was with him for 4 years, cheated on me. The whole 4 years, I was pregnant, cheated on me. So it got to the point to where I just, you know, no one's going to want you. Like, you're going to you're fat, you know. It's so much of, you get to a point where they are so good at what they do, they can wrap your brain and just take it and just take it, you know.
Wow.
And when it was good, it was great. That's it was a powerful great.
Statement. They can wrap your brain up and just take it.
Yeah. And you get to the point where, you know, everyone's like, well, why don't you just leave? Because I love them. Okay, but do you really? Do you really? Like, you know, so you just block out all the bad and you continue to see the good in them and, you know, the emotions, dealing with it now. I didn't have emotions then. Dealing with it now, it's been rough. It's been
rough. You numbed out to it during the relationship. And now, like, that he's gone, you're having to deal with all the consequences by yourself.
Yep. Yep. I'm dealing with, so, courts. I have pressed charges to the full extent. I'm not backing down, you know. Granted, I had court on Thursday. My lawyer called me on Monday and let me know what our offer was on the table. And it's
probation. Were you married?
No.
No, okay.
No, we were not
married. So this is just about custody and stuff?
Yeah. So, what has it been?
I hurt my head.
Okay, well, go sit down and watch Lilo and Stitch, okay? Mom's almost done. We were not married, but because my son was present when it happened, he's seen it all.
Gotcha.
And I thought the last thing that I was going to hear was my son yelling out on me.
Wow.
You know, nobody wants to have to go through that. And I never thought I would get out of it. But that was my breaking point. That was when I had enough. You know, people always ask, well, why didn't you leave? Why didn't you get out sooner? And it's so much easier said than done. And people don't realize that. There were several times that I tried leaving. And he locked my baby in the house with him. He would threaten to kill, you know. So it's easier said than done.
Yeah.
And I know when I tell the story, people just like, but you could have left. I could have. And I should have. And I beat myself up over my, every day. I beat myself down. I'm a mom. I should have protected my son. I should have moved out. I should have. There's so many things that you could have done, you should have done. But you know, the world is so full of should have, could have, would have. I'm out now. Yeah, it took it to that extreme. And it shouldn't have waited that long. But it sucks because the justice system for domestic violence victims, I feel like people look at it as a joke. You know, they're wanting probation. I don't want probation. I want jail time. Strangulation is actually a felony offense in the state of Kentucky now. And he was,
it should be.
Right. Yeah, you're like,
you're just start strangling people. Are you kidding me?
You know, so it's a felony offense in Kentucky now, and he was charged with first degree strangulation and fourth degree assault. So they want probation. That's the offer on the table. And like Monday, I literally did nothing but cry all day because that's not what I want. And I feel like it is literally a slap in the face. Like I'm fighting for what?
Yeah.
I'm fighting for what? And people are like, stay strong. You got this. You got your, okay. But you know how much I've heard stay strong? Like, you know, it just, he's out here living his life. New baby, you know, new girlfriend, new family, whatever. And I can't even be in a relationship because I'm so, you know,
yeah.
The effect it has on a person, like, it's so much deeper. I'm in therapy myself. My son is in play therapy at 4. At 3, he was diagnosed with PTSD.
Ugh. Yeah.
PTSD at 3.
So you've been left with, like, these lifelong consequences. And it's like he just gets to walk away and, like, go do, live yep. his next best life. And you're here cleaning up a disaster.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, you're not, you know, tending to the nightmares. You're just out living. And it's not fair.
It's disgusting. For real.
And she supports it. She supports it. I'll tell you, the girl knew about my son. I sent her pictures of my face because obviously, you know, 30 to 40 times in the face, closed fist, bound to do something to you.
And hang out for a sponsored segment. This podcast episode is brought to you by my book, How to Wear a Crown, A Practical Guide to Knowing Your Worth. How to Wear a Crown is an easy-to-read guidebook that gives its readers digestible content and step-by-step instructions on how to increase one's sense of self-worth. It's a practical guide to knowing your worth that will allow you to dive deep into my personal experiences with learning self-love and gaining unshakable self-worth. It's a witty but intelligent book that will break down the intense process into 4 rules. 1, speak to yourself like royalty. 2, treat yourself like royalty. 3, carry yourself like royalty. And 4, honor yourself like royalty. Each category discusses multiple topics related to emotional growth and techniques necessary to drastically improve your self-worth and help you feel like you deserve more and better things in your life. You can get How to Wear a Crown, A Practical Guide to Knowing Your Worth on my favorite store in the entire world, Amazon.com. And it's usually available to ship within 1 to 2 days. So go check it out now. All right, now we're back.
She said, I feel no pity for you. You deserved everything.
Wow.
As a woman, that doesn't sit well. It doesn't sit well.
Yeah.
You know. I think as a woman, you should not say that to another woman.
Can you talk about what was going on in your own mind, like the relationship with you to you? No, what were the thoughts that were going through your mind, like in a near-death experience, like being strangled and...
Just 1 second.
Yeah.
So the thoughts that ran through my head during that, just there were so many, you know, like, this is really it, like, this is really the last thing I'm gonna hear is my son screaming mommy. What is gonna happen to him? Is he gonna turn out like his dad? You know. Thoughts can run through your head, and it's like, Jesus, if this could just be done, I will leave tonight and never come back, you know. I just want it to be over, because he was a professional boxer, so his hands are legally registered as deadly weapons.
Oh crap.
Yes. Yes, girl, deadly weapons. So it's like, once he got that first taste, it's almost like a shark tasting blood. Once they get that first taste, it's like it unleashes a whole nother animal. So he got that first taste, got that first hit in, and he just didn't stop. So going through that, you know, just all kinds of thoughts, like, this is it. You know, I should have left sooner. And my son is going to watch his father kill me.
So what helped you survive that experience?
What helped me survive? My baby.
Yeah.
I pushed through. You know, he's 6 foot, solid 300 pounds. People are like, well, why didn't you fight back? You know, you always see these movies where these women take, like, the cast iron skillet and, like, wah, wah, wah. No, girl, I promise it doesn't happen that way in real life. Because if it was that easy, I would have.
Yeah.
I would. Pushing and shoving was the best that I could do. That was it, you know. But my baby is it.
Me?
He is the reason. I survived that night. I pushed through. He had. I need you to go play.
No, I'm gonna get a question to it.
All right, go get it and play in the living room, please.
Can you talk about recovery? What is define recovery for an abuse survivor?
Hope. There's still hope. I want people to know, you know, don't give up. Don't give up. There is chance, you know. People say, well, if I leave, things won't be the same. It won't be the same. No, things will not be the same. I'm in therapy. I have my bad days. I have days where I shut down completely as a parent, as a daughter, as a sister, you know, as a friend. I'm so angry. I'm so angry. The other day, Monday, my therapist looked at me and said, I have been angry before, but I have never been as angry as you are. You know, I want to take a baseball bat and, like, just break something.
Where does that anger come from?
Him. Everything. The fact that I gave 4 years to somebody. And it meant nothing. Nothing. You know. I gave 4 years to a, I wouldn't even call it a person. He is an animal. He, you can get shoes in a minute, please, Malachi.
Okay.
Narcissistic and just.
Is there a big spiritual part of your recovery?
I have tried. You know, you can't really blame that on a higher power, you know, finding the strength to continue. That's where I turn to the higher power. That's where I, you know, tell myself it's gonna be okay, you know. You've got this. Like, you've got this, dude. Like, you just keep pushing. And even on your darkest days, there is eventually light.
Ooh. I've written down, like, I write notes throughout the entire podcast, and I have, like, a freaking sheet of quotes from you, and now I'm writing, like, another page. You're, like, so great. Even on the darkest days,
there is light.
There is light.
You know, I have tried to take the bad and turn it into good. When I left, I told myself, you will not allow another person to make you feel any type of way about yourself. You will not allow another person to ever lay hands on you again. And whether that means you have to fight back or you have to leave at the first red flag. I feel like domestic violence should be taught about in schools.
Yeah.
These 13, 14, 15, 16-year-olds should learn about red flags, mm-hmm. should know the signs.
Can you talk about those signs?
So one of the signs is obviously, you know, the whole, you're always going to be alone. No one's ever going to love you. You're not pretty enough. You know,
and these are the things that they're saying to you, messages that they're trying to make you believe.
Or it could be switched. It could be, I love you. Let's see. I love you. Here's this plate of food, you know. I love you. And that's just in the beginning. Then there's the controlling, the jealousy. You can and can't do this. Well, what are you doing? Who are you with? What's going on? Red flags. It's all red flags. You know, yeah, there is that in relationships. But you'll know the difference. You know, and I'm still learning about different signs. There are four types of abuse. There's mental, emotional, physical, and economical, which controls your money, controls what you're spending, controls how you're spending it, if you can spend it or if you cannot. Are you going to get that money? No, because they're going to take it. You know, so there's the four types of abuse. 1 in 8 women go back to their abusers because they feel like there's nobody to support them. 1 in 10 women end up in a body bag.
Fuck.
1 in 10 women end up in a body bag. You know, at what point are people going to, you know, stop asking these women, well, why didn't you leave? Support them. You know.
What kind of support do women need that they're not getting?
Finding safe routes to leave instead of being like, let's just go. No. Okay. What's a step that you can take that you can leave safely and you know you're going to be okay? When you do get out, I am here. I am not going anywhere. You have this. Positive words. Positive words goes a long way. You know, for me, it was people saying, well, just leave when he's asleep. Okay, but what when he wakes up?
Right.
You know, or leave when he is at work. What about when he comes home? You know. I had planned to I signed up for HUD. I was going to get all my stuff together, slowly move my stuff out. It's a process, you know, and people's brains, or I guess women's brains, and there are men out there who are in the same situation, you know, it's not just women who are in that situation, but, it's constantly turning. Well, what's the right move? What's the next step? You know, and you never know, like just trying to get out of that situation They'll know when enough is enough. And when they figure it out, they will have that power and that strength to overcome, to get out and not look back. And if I could save one woman in my lifetime, I know I've done something right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm working hard to try to become a domestic violence advocate. I know personally the justice system, real quick, touch base on people talking about, will they go back? Okay, well, would they go back if they had a support system in the justice system? Would they go back if they felt like social services wasn't going to take their kids because we are being beat?
Right.
You have social services come into our life talking about, you have to do this, you have to do that. Okay, well, what about the abuser? What about the abuser? You guys are making us out to be the bad guys when all we did was leave and do our best for our kids. You know, but then if you make people feel like they're doing wrong, they're going to go back to what they know is right.
So you're saying that, like, you've experienced like almost feeling like that you were being blamed for the children experiencing this?
Yes.
Or like penalized or feared? Yes. Negative consequences?
Yes.
On you?
Yep. I am going through that now. So when it first happened, he as well, but I feel like it should not have been. I had to call every day CPS, check in. I had to go to another town, drug screen.
Was drugs even part of?
No, that's the thing. There was nothing, you know.
I was about to say, I've never even heard you talk about drugs in your story. Drug screening a part of this?
What? Are you kidding me? I have to call.
Our system's definitely flawed.
It is. It is.
It fails a lot of people.
It does. It does. And that's the thing. I have goosebumps talking about it. Whew. Because.
Don't even get me started, girl. Talk about
You know, it's one of those things like, Jesus, if you people would step back, stop making us feel that way. You know, I have been in court, and because of COVID, they're not taking anybody to jail.
Oh.
Unless you kill somebody. So, girl, we could go out and rob a bank and not get away with it. Like, not saying that's not a suggested thing.
Okay.
Sorry. Anybody listening, like, hey, yeah, I could do that. Don't do it.
This is not an advice podcast. This is a free podcast. I just need to reiterate.
But it's just a slap on the wrist. He has a domestic violence all the way up until 2004. So 14 years worth of stuff. Okay. 14 years worth of domestic violence. If you log on to a registry for domestic violence, he's on there.
Mm-hmm.
And you want probation. No.
Mm-mm. Yeah. I've heard that, you know, I've been working in mental health for 6 years, and I used to do a trauma group, and so many of my clients were domestic violence victims, and it is just insane the stories that you hear, and you think, how do people get away with this? And they're scared because he lives down the road.
Yeah.
And these are like violent, violent criminals.
Exactly, girl.
Like, that are out walking around free and can pop into your job. You're working at the gas station, you're working at the fast food restaurant trying to get your life together.
Yeah.
And somebody looks similar to him and you're having to have a PTSD episode panic attack in the middle of work because there's a possibility that your abuser is at your job. And I'm just like, why?
Yep. When so that happened. He did get put in jail. He was in jail. He sat in a chair, looked at the officer and said, yes, I beat her. No, I'm not going to jail. What? So it took four officers to restrain him. He eventually went February 24th. She went, took her tax money, bailed him out of jail.
So it sounds like that in this flawed system, there are some changes that need to be made around how to keep the victims feeling safe.
Yes, ma'am. When I got the Vine call, I was asleep with my son. Because at first, when all this first happened, obviously getting away from my child was not possible. Mm-hmm. We were sleeping on the floor. I got a Vine call. The has been released.
For anybody who doesn't know what Vine is,
it is a victim notification hotline. So if an abuser is in jail, you go to their mugshot. Above the mugshot, it will say Vine. You can connect to that. And it will let you know notifications on your abuser, if they've been released, if they've been transferred, anything that will notify you. So it left a voicemail.
And this, I think is like a good first step on the process of how to keep victims feeling safe, but it's just the tip of the iceberg of what you guys really need in terms of support.
Absolutely. And I remember getting that call. I was so scared. I was so scared. He got out. I remember shaking and being upset because I had gotten a new job at a new place here in town. And that is where the girl lived. She lived in the same town, just a town over from me. Mm-hmm. Freaking out. Like, I remember sweating, and I'm like, oh, my God, he's going to find me. You know, if he's not going to look for me, he's definitely going to look for the baby. Like, that, you know, this can't happen. We can't go through this. But thankfully, you know, none of the above happened. Mm-hmm. I'm an overthinker.
No, well, and that's a normal fear response.
Right.
That is how the brain like naturally works when there's a threat.
Yes.
You're going to rapidly think of all of the threats and then try to figure out how to evade them.
Yes. So,
you know, your brain is just doing what a brain does.
I remember just being at my job at that time and just thinking, God, he's going to come through this door.
Along my journey, I feel like, no matter, along everybody's journey, no matter what we're recovering from, there's so many aspects. It's always like so much deeper than we could have imagined. You know, we might think that we need to heal this little thing, and there's like, that means that you have to dive into these five other subjects. So right. I feel like there's things along my journey where I was, you know, I did them really fully, and I'm like, I got that one now. Like, I got that, I'm done there. Now I'm going to focus on this. And then there's other parts of my journey where I'm like, that I'll probably kind of have to deal with forever. So like, can you talk about that in terms of your own recovery? Like, is there anything you're like, cool, I got that, never going back there? Is there, and then what parts do you feel like are like a battle for you forever?
Honestly, I haven't really thought about stuff like that.
Okay.
It's just been every day waking up type, you got this, you know, whether it be the day that I'm facing or the emotions that I'm feeling, it's just been a solid, at this point in time, you got this, you know, or even for my son, you know, we got this, you know.
And so what is that? Like, just the, you got what? The ability to keep going?
Yeah. Yeah. To laugh, to be able to laugh again, to love, whether it be myself, to rebuild a relationship with my mother, my family, my friends, my people, you know. Mm-hmm. So just to be able to live again and live for Billy, not for somebody else.
Damn.
You know, that's my, you got this. Because in the beginning it was hard to laugh with my mom, you know, and have a good time. She'd be like, hello, you know, I'm talking to you. And I would be dazed out. And now we laugh, you know. I've learned to just live and just be okay. You know, I still have bad days now. It's not all there yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm still fighting within myself to, if I have a bad day, don't take it out on people you love.
Yeah.
You know, don't shut yourself down. Don't. I'm having to relearn everything, pretty much. I've had to relearn everything. And just as a mom should, my mom has taught me to relearn, you know, and has... it's still a process in the making. Billy still has some issues she has to work out, and I will admit that, you know, we all have to start somewhere, and whether that be starting with our own faults and admitting to that, then it's a start. And you can't feel bad for being like, you know, I can't do this. No, but you can. Change it. You have to want to change it. Do something about it. Like my mom says, do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sad, do something about it. If you're depressed, do something about it, you know? So just trying to relearn to live. And that's what I've got. I've got this, you know. I'll be able to, eventually somebody will come into my life and I'll be loved the right way, because I'll be damned if I'm not.
Along with your dad, so. I can feel the fucking power. I can feel the power in your spirit when you say these things.
Yes, ma'am. That's where I'm at. So to anybody listening that is in the situation, you know. They can do this. They got this. And if anybody's listening that has that in their family, if it's your sister, your mother, your aunt, your baby, don't give up. Don't walk away.
Mm-mm.
I got lucky. My mom did not walk away, and he thought for 2 seconds that because I got isolated from my mother that she was going to walk away. Oh, honey, she did not.
Yeah.
Stop. You know, don't give up. Don't give up, because there is light at the end of that tunnel. On those dark days when you're in the bathroom crying because you feel so low on yourself, there's light at the end of that tunnel. There's light at the end of that tunnel. I mean, I will be the first to say I'm back in school. I'm going for social work and business management. I'm going to open up a battered women's home here in Berea and hopefully go nationwide. I have my own car. You know, I'm surrounding myself by friends and family and, you know,
parents
and, you know,
friends.
We are living. We are living
school.
In school, so.
I am tearing up.
Why are we under?
Because your story is so beautiful, and I am just so overwhelmed with hope at how open-hearted and open-spirited you are after what you said, just 1 year of recovery from domestic violence. The way that I've seen this type of abuse affect people is runs so deep, and I just want to just commend you on your journey, commend you on your recovery. And I see you, and I acknowledge everything that you've been through. And I just want to say, I'm so glad that you are here today.
Me too. I'm glad you have.
You're going to help so many women with this podcast. I can't wait to share it.
I hope so. And that is my goal. That is why I agreed to it. Because you have to start somewhere, you know. And at first, I didn't know where to start. I'm like, where do I start? And then I seen that on Facebook, and I was like, okay, I hear you.
Okay, God, I see you.
I don't know what this is, but I hear you, you know, so.
I hope we get to work together.
Yeah, absolutely. That would
when
be
awesome. When do you graduate with your social work degree?
So this is, of course, my first year because, you know, I was never able to really complete school. I'm almost done with this semester. So I start my, second year in August.
Good for you.
I'm so excited. So, you know, now there's way worse than me. There are people who have just been completely, you know, broken and shattered. But for those who have had the worst situation, honey, you may be broken, but you are not shattered. And you can, like you have said, rise from the ashes like a phoenix.
On that note, I don't think it can get any better than that, or that there could be any more tingles and chill bumps all over my body. Billy Lynn, blowing my freaking mind this morning. I just adore you.
Hey, look, you learn to laugh. You learn to, you know, like I said earlier, you just, it's been a goal, you know. I just want to laugh again. Yeah. I want to be able to make people feel happy, and I'm willing to do whatever.
And I'm 100% positive you have done that for many, many, many women today.
I hope so. And that is my goal, you know. We're going to keep living and loving and laughing.
Yeah.
So I wanted to, before we ended today, say that if you are listening to this today and you are struggling with domestic violence, that though the system may be flawed, there is still tons of help out there. Organizations just like the one that Billy Ray wants to start, and you can get help today by calling the National Domestic Violence Hotline. And I've linked all of the information for you to get started down in the show notes. And even if you are unsure of if what you are experiencing is abuse, you can even figure that out. So you can call them if you're not in crisis, just to say, hey, this is what I'm going through. Is this something that I should be worried by, bothered by? Because they're, like Billy said, four different types of abuse. And if you're not sure, figure it out. If you are sure, let's get started today to figure out how to get started towards living your brand new life. And I love you very much. Bye. So thank you so much for being here and listening to my podcast. I just want to say that I'm really grateful and honored to be guiding you along your journey from rock bottom to badass. And if you want to see more about me and my work with my company, I Am Raquel, then you could check out www.iamraquel.com. And you can see all of the stuff about my book, my blog. You can reach my I Am Raquel Academy from there.
you all of this stuff. And you can follow me at I Am Rockel. That's at IAMROCKL on all the socials. Well, I love you guys so much. I am really, really glad that you're here listening. I'm glad if you made it to this segment right here. Oh, you're a fucking rock star. I can't even believe that you did that. You're a fucking champion. But I wanted to tell you a little bit more. If you like this stuff and you want to see more from me, I would love that. So follow me on all the stuff. I am Rockel on everything. That's IAMROCKL. I'm on, I think, every social media that exists in the world. So you can follow me everywhere. I dish out free, helpful content all over the place, religiously, every day. And you can also check out www.iamrockhill.com. I worked really hard to make my website pretty, so please check that out. And from there, you can go to I Am Rockhill Academy. I Am Rockhill Academy supports this show. What it is my online school. That's right, I got my own online school. So it's a coaching school, so you can do self-coaching work by purchasing online courses made by yours truly. And it, what it does is when you purchase courses from me at IAMRockhill.com, you support this show. It enables me to continue to make free, helpful content for people all over the world. So definitely check that out. All of the info that you need should be in the show notes. And I will see you guys later. Mwah, bye.